Today on Real Life Radio.
I want Christ to accept me for who I am. Christ will accept you as you are. He loves you. He accepts you as you come to him, but he's going to change you. You need to know that.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 3, continues a series called The Why Series. As Christians, we all know that truthful answers are hard to come by these days, especially if we're looking anywhere else but the Bible. Even the answers to the most complex issues of life, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, are found in the pages of Scripture. And when it comes to our minds, just like soil that's been turned over and over, we need to be reset, cleansed, and rebooted. How's that possible? For the Christ follower, we can look to the Old Testament. In the book of Psalms, David himself asks God to search his heart to see if there's anything in his thoughts hidden there. But David doesn't stop there. He asks the Lord for a total renewal. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to answer questions from the congregation. Be sure to listen to the raw honesty, and who knows, maybe your question will be answered as well. And now from his message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God will heal you. He will heal you. His word does. Say, well, I'm a Christian. My mind didn't get healed. You're not an exception. It just simply tells us you are not militantly going after the word, dude. Go grab it. Get on it. Eat it. Makes all the difference in the world. Please try it. 30 days. Try it for 30 days. Watch what happens to your life. You have a tendency to make bad decisions? Do this. Watch what happens. Are you impatient? Do this. Watch what happens. You ever hear somebody say, well, you know what? I don't know, man. I don't know how it happened. I got drunk, crashed into somebody's car, stepped out of the car. I was upset. I don't know why. We're all human. Punched the guy in the face, pressed charges. I don't know what happened. Woke up. I was in jail. Listen, I don't know what the Lord's doing. The Lord was not within 100 miles of that. So that's kind of like my life. Grab his word. Do these four steps. Watch what happens. Anybody have any questions regarding this? We're going to have them text to the screen. And some of you were texting earlier today even. So if I have not yet accepted Christ into my life, how can I accept him so that I can walk on the right path? I want Christ to accept me for who I am. Christ will accept you as you are. How's that? Come to him. Hallelujah. This is Christianity. Christianity is, thank God for this. I love the question. Leave it up there for a moment. Let it set in. He loves you. He accepts you as you come to him, but he's going to change you. You need to know that. In some ways, he's like a dentist. You go in to get your teeth cleaned, and the next thing you know, you walk out, you're missing three teeth. I'm not saying this is you, but some people, I want Jesus so I can have a happier life. That's fine. Just know this. He's going to transform you. So this is how, listen, if you've not yet accepted Christ, what you would do is understand that you are a sinner and that you're not heaven bound. You need salvation. The Bible says that sin has condemned us. When you come to Christ or accept Christ, what you're actually saying is, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need you to save me. I don't want to live the life I'm living anymore. I want to live for you. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I come to you in faith. I believe the Bible. You died on the cross for my sins. You rose again from the dead. I put all my trust in you, Lord, to be my salvation. And from this moment on, Jesus, I'm going to walk with you now. It's a decision. It's a relational decision that you make. And so that's how you would do that. And you can do that right where you're at this very moment. He's listening to your thoughts. He knows exactly what you need. The question is, do you know what you need? Because he's the one that will transform you from the inside out. Come to him sincerely and he will sincerely save you. Next question. How do you correlate the helmet of salvation to the mind? Great question. These four steps. No, seriously. The helmet of salvation. Notice in Ephesians 6, the soldier, the Christian soldier that's suited in the armor, notice that salvation's not the shield. Notice that salvation's not the sword. Helmet. Why? What's under the helmet? Your mind. And the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, right? It's the word of God that you use. The word of God is Christ. The word of God is revealed by God's incredible mercy here in black and white in print, and you apply it. But all of your thinking, all of the temple approaching, all of the worship, all of the experience begins first with the mind. And so it's no accident that the helmet of salvation goes on the head. The helmet protects that salvation. I like to think of that helmet as being God's word. The enemy shoots his arrows at us and darts at us. Boom, hits the helmet, falls off. It's beautiful. Just make sure you have a helmet. Next question. I've heard that the enemy cannot influence the minds. That's not true. Of believers, still not true. Or know what we are thinking. So when believers are having impure thoughts, is it from our own sinful nature? Satan can only tempt you. He cannot make you think anything. He can lay it out there. You have to remember, scripturally, he cannot know your mind. He doesn't know your mind. He can't read your thoughts. But he's very old, very wise, and he's been dealing with billions, mind you, of people since Adam and Eve. He knows the pattern of humans. He studies us. He knows what works. He knows what doesn't work. He's got a repertoire, by the way. All of you should read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. It's only that big. It will freak you out. It's awesome. It's all about this right here. The enemy can shoot suggestions at you. He cannot know your thoughts. He cannot get inside your mind. He cannot control the believer. Unbeliever, another story. We're talking about the believer. Okay, so you just remember that. But he'll shoot things. You say, well, wait, it's really weird because I was just fine. I was thinking about butterflies and rainbows. And then I just felt like something just jerked me over behind and there was this half-naked individual. It's like something just pulled my face. What was that? That's the enemy working. That's the enemy at work. He knows what works against the human. So he knows when to launch. But he does not know your mind. He doesn't know your thoughts. But he's got great timing. And remember, he never sleeps. Him and his minions, they never sleep. They're always prowling around, seeking whom their next victim is. And then finally on this, when believers are having impure thoughts, is it from thoughts? It certainly come from ourselves. It certainly comes from what 1 John says is the spirit of the world that is antichrist. The world, and the thoughts, Satan can shoot the thoughts. He can shoot the thoughts or the temptation at the thoughts, but he cannot know your thoughts. He can attack, but he cannot get inside. And by the way, the context of this answer is for the believer. If you're a non-believer, you have no armor. You're out there. Next. Is going on medication to help control depression or mental illness? No, it's not sinful. My goodness, no. You know what? I hope that's an honest question from you. I hope you don't have a Pentecostal type background on this question, or how about a word faith movement? You guys know what I'm talking about? There are people on TV who say that that's sinful because if you had enough faith, you wouldn't have depression. For me to say to you that your depression is sinful, well, look, there's areas where depression could be the fruit of sinfulness, sure. That's another story. I tell you, you know what? I believe backslidden Christians, they're very depressed. Christians who are going to heaven, but they've walked away from God and they're living in sin, they're miserable. Thank God they are, right? It proves that they're a believer. This is different. If you could have hormonal issues, these are all the results of Adam and Eve's fall. You could have chemical disorders. You could have extreme situations of life where it's just overwhelming. We need to be very careful on this. Should we take everything to God in prayer and to the Word? Absolutely. Are we perfect? Will we perfectly do that every time? No, read Romans chapter 7. Paul the Apostle speaks about himself, and it's clear that we are not perfect. We will not be able to do that all the time. But this thing about depression, and I hope you have a good group of medical or physicians, somebody around you that's responsible. Because, you know, we live in a day when I think doctors go to voodoo school sometimes. You know, it's like, what's that? You know, they walk in your examining room. They're already starting to write a prescription. I said, dude, I'm here for my foot. You know, it's like, what? That's weird. So just be wise about what your doctors are saying to you. And I hope you have a good doctor or doctors. But by no means, my goodness, if somebody's telling you, if you just had enough faith, you wouldn't have to take this. Oh, you know what? You don't need people like that telling you that. That's crazy. Just be wise. So, and is there more? A majority of people seem to be under the impression that all suicides go to hell if they take their own life. Is this true? What does the Bible teach us regarding this topic? The Bible says Jesus died for all manner of sin, period. Listen, suicide, is it going against God's will? Yep. Is it tragic? Absolutely. Is it the answer? Nope. But here's the thing. Catholic theology teaches you could be Pope, what's his name? Francis. You could be Pope Francis. And if he commits suicide, he goes to hell. That's not how it works. I have to be very careful in answering this question. Because kids right now, Christian kids, are talking all over the world on the internet about how, you know what, this life's just too hard. It's too hard. And I'm going to lean on God's grace, and I'm just going to kill myself. And I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to just cut this whole thing short. That is a demonic lie that's permeating the world, okay? Do you rip yourself off by committing suicide as a Christian? Yes, of course you do. Do you hurt everybody in your life? Yes, of course you do. Are you probably, I'm sorry for your situation, but are you not the most selfish person in the world at that moment? Didn't you think about what your kids or your parents are going to think or feel? But when you're caught up, when you're that depressed, or when you're that, God, listen, God is gracious. He doesn't condone it, but that action doesn't send you to hell. The Bible doesn't say so whatsoever. Jesus Christ died for all manner of sin. You say, I don't know if I like that answer. Well, are you a Christian? Yep. Okay, and listen, if you die of a heart attack, have a brain aneurysm, or if you get hit by a train because you're looking in the wrong direction, and you were having an argument with your dog, or you had a bad thought in your mind, or fill in the blank, right? Do you go to hell? You see? Of course you don't. Just be careful. We need to really love on people that are in our lives and watch and care for them with ears wide open, listening. Kids today, I think, you know, look, I know it's impossible, but parents ought to like take a year off. I'm joking. I mean, I want to. Some parents might need to take a year off just to spend the time with their son or daughter, just to pull them from the edge. Because when you hear most of their stories, the kids feel like my parents, my mom doesn't care, my dad doesn't care. And listen, giving them a $1,000 bill or a new car is not loving them. Amen. Well, I he was bummed. I bought him a Disney pass. What does that have to do with anything? They don't want a pass. They want you. It's a big deal. It's a big deal today. Next question. We got a next question. I have, me too. And my mind is all over the place all the time. Me too. Can you give me advice on how to stay focused? No, I can't. I'll tell you this. I mean it. Is it a pain? Yeah. Does it drive people close to me crazy? Yeah, just ask Lisa. Would I change it? No way. You see, and listen, for the person that's asking this question, I mean it. I wouldn't change it for this reason. By God's grace, because I have that, even though I'm scattered all over the place, and you are too, I have given that to the Lord. This is just personal. Lord, you make a big deal in your Bible about how much you love me. Your word tells me that I didn't love you first. You first loved me. In this fallen world, which you understand way better than I do, I have this issue. I'm giving it to you. You're the Redeemer. That's what you say. You're the Redeemer. So redeem it. I wouldn't change it. I'm telling you right now. I wouldn't let it get away from me, because even though I'm all over the page, I can get 50% more stuff done in one day than the average Joe. No, listen. I think sanctified ADHD to the Lord. I think God has taken it in my life, and he's used it regarding vision, because there's this constant activity. Yes. And the 2 years plus, and I'm still not out of the woods, but the insomnia, I look back now, it was impossible to stay focused. But having gone through that, I wouldn't change a thing. So I just want you to know, don't be bummed or saddened by this. Ask God to get control of it and ask him to use it. See what happens. Next, we have 1 minute left. No more questions? Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we stand here tonight. In our minds, every one of us, you know our thoughts that we're thinking right now. Your Bible says that you know our thoughts before they arrive. And I know in our humanity, we might think, that's impossible. A computer can't even do that. Thank you, God, that your Bible tells us you're not a human. You're not limited. You're transcendent. In a great house, a fantastic house, a beautiful house that people would admire and enjoy. It's not the house that's great. It's the contractor that built it. They are the greater one. You've built us, but you're the greater one. And Lord, tonight we're asking you that supernatural power of your Holy Spirit would heal our minds tonight from things spoken and unspoken, things confessed to others, things not confessed. May the fear of the Lord and the reverential awe of who you are, God, saturate our thinking. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would answer this prayer. And I know it's in accordance with your will. That for all of us here tonight, you would bestow upon us the mind of Christ. That you would fulfill your word in our lives. That you would be the Lord sovereign, King of our minds. And Father, from this moment forward, help us, Lord, to guard our ears and our eyes, the external world around us, from coming inside of us, from coming from the outer court, that we would allow it to permeate and break in and steal into the holy of holy sanctum of our worship, of our thoughts, of who we are. And Lord, for the person that asked that question tonight, I don't know if that came from afar or in this sanctuary tonight, but whoever you may be, and how many of you may be, that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ tonight by asking him to conquer you tonight, to take control. It's an interesting conquering, my friend, because you let him conquer you. You hand him the keys to the front door. You give him your access codes. You give him your password to your heart. And you determine now tonight, I'm going to go after Jesus. That's it. No goofing around. I don't care if 10,000 people forsake me. I'm going to do the right thing by following the right one. We praise you, Lord, tonight in our closing song. We bless you. We seek to wash your feet with our worship. Lord, hear our song tonight. Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 3. We're so glad you joined us today. The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life, a process we can logically reason together while looking to God for the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, one way to keep our minds on the Lord is to have a devotional time set aside to spend in His Word and to simply talk to Him. Many of us know that devotions are a must, but how can we do it and why do we get so distracted? Well, it helps to have a little instruction in this area, and that's where Pastor Jack comes in. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, or go to the Real Life mobile app on your smartphone or tablet and look for that tab labeled Devotions. Once you're there, you'll see Pastor Jack. He's got his weekly devotions that include a verse and a personal story that relates to that verse. You can also check out previous devotions that will inspire you daily, and soon, who knows, you may be finding your own personal story. And don't worry, if you miss a day or two or even a week, just continue where you left off. Again, you'll find devotions on the Real Life mobile app or at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.